So earlier this week,
yes.
Sam asked me if I still had Max, because there is something she wanted to watch on there.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, I canceled Max way back.
Right.
Well, yesterday, because I got my bonus and a raise from work, I was starting over with a budget software. And so to put all the regular bills in to the software, I was going through my bank account line by line, looking at all the things that get paid.
Right.
And I noticed a payment through Google Pay to WB Max.
Oh.
And I was like, what is that? That was on March the 3rd, 4th, something like that. So I like Googled this Google Pay, WB Max, what is this? Oh, that's for Max, for the Max streaming thing. Huh. So I told Sam, well, it turns out I am subscribed to Max.
Wow.
And she's like, well, Violet told me that while she was sick, she was watching all the Studio Ghibli movies
right.
on her phone. And I'm like, so she was able to log in, because Sam doesn't pay for Max. She's able to log in. Was there like some kind of message that came up saying you don't subscribe, but if you want to restart, you know, say yeah, that she hit because she wasn't paying attention or something? Nope, that is not the case. Apparently, rather than flat out canceling, I suspended or paused my subscription. And it restarted this month because it's only for 3 months.
Okay.
And there were zero emails about, hey, this is coming back now. You're going to get charged again. Zero emails.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'm like, huh. You warn me that my suspension is about to start, but you don't send any emails when the pause is over. How sneaky is that?
Yes, it's sneaky. Is it a shitty business
yes.
practice? Absolutely. But
yeah.
they're not going to remind you, hey, by the way, do you still want us to stay canceled?
They should, because they give you the option to pause 3 times in a year for 3 months at a time. It would be nice to warn me, because if I was back in my 20s when I was like living paycheck to paycheck, that $17 could have really fucked everything up.
Right. Well, yeah, absolutely.
So if they're going to take my money, they should kind of warn me. We're going to take your money. But they didn't warn me, so I've missed out on almost an entire month of being able to watch stuff on Max.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Well, that sucks. That does suck.
I didn't know. That's a little annoying, but Violet's gotten my money's worth watching stuff.
Hey, at least someone has.
Yeah. Out of my 4 things today, I've got 2 on Max.
Okay.
Go figure.
I've got 2 things.
All right. So again, it's the Patty Show.
It is. Well, it's always the fucking Patty Show.
It is, because I watch, that's all I do is watch shit on my television.
Well, it's not all you do, you know.
It is all I do.
It really is. It's, well, okay.
I work, and then I watch stuff on my television.
Okay. I'm trying to help you.
I know you are, but it's true.
Yeah, absolutely, it's true.
I've been a TV addict since I was a child.
Well, all right, but, all right, let's start the show, and then I'll get into that.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Watchlist with Patty and Bill. Make sure you smash that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcast. You can go to thewatchlistpod.com and look at all the amazing work that Patty does by making a list of the shit that we watch. And you can take your own list from that. You can also hit us up on social media, @ Bill Ivory Larson, @ Pirate Alice, @ The Watchlist Pod. And if you listen on any platform that allows you to rate the podcast, please give us a 5-star review. We appreciate the 33 of you.
We sure do.
And I say 33 because we picked up a new subscriber.
What?
And her name is Tracy Ann, and she is absolutely amazing. So
hello, new subscriber.
So I just wanted to say thank you for subscribing, and you are amazing. So thank you.
Thank you all for listening week after week when we're here.
I don't think you're an addict. I was at trivia last night. A whole bunch of us went out for, it was 80s trivia.
I need trivia in my life.
I'm telling you, you do.
I don't have a group to go, is my problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Everybody's too spread out.
Well, yeah. So anyway, we're all at trivia last night, and there are a lot of, and when I say younger people, I'm talking about in their 30s.
Okay.
And a couple of people younger than that there last night, so I figure, ooh, good, we've got a chance. These gray hairs are going to come in use for something. Mm-hmm. We did really, really well.
Okay.
Out of 26 teams, we came in third.
Nice. Good job.
And the only reason was, I mean, every now and then he would throw you that curveball of like, okay, who sang this? And it was just one of those one-hit wonders from the very late 80s, that stuff that they would play on WCRX.
Right.
You know, and I'm like.
But you would have known it because you worked at CRX.
No, I knew. Okay. Nope. To be fair, there were groups that I liked. Like I liked.
Oh, yeah.
I liked
yeah.
TKA. I liked. Who else did we play that I liked?
Queen Latifah.
Did you say Latifah on the
I
air?
I did.
Oh, God.
Yes, I called her Queen Latifah with such like confidence because it was phonetically spelled out, and that's the way it looked to me. And I called Tony Tone because, again, that is the phonetic way they spelled it out.
Oh, God.
Like, if they just wrote Tony three times, I would have said it right. But that last one, because the name was spelled Tone, but with, like, an accent, they wrote it phonetically Tone. And I'm like, well, that is not Tony. That is Tone. So, yeah, Queen Latifah and Tone were... Nobody corrected me. And then later on, I heard Queen Latifah, and I was like, oh, man.
And not only that, and ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, the format of our former college radio station was Urban Dance.
Yes.
So we were playing like Stevie B. We were playing, who I liked really a lot. We were playing a lot of these groups, and oh my God, Queen Latifah.
Yes, Queen Latifah.
Wow. Anyway. Where was I going with this? Anyway, so I figured...
Your trivia.
So I figured being old would come in handy, and it mostly did, except for the occasional CRX-y kind of song, and they had a category on mustaches. They showed the picture from the nose down of somebody who had a mustache in the 80s.
Oh.
And you had to guess who that was. We actually only missed two.
Oh.
And one...
Of the mustaches?
Of the mustaches.
Okay.
Which was not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad enough.
Excuse me. But, you know, we came in all right. But the thing is, and here's my point, mm-hmm. I realized, yes, how much TV I watched and absorbed back then to be able to do that kind of trivia without, you know, having to really study for it. You've just progressed that's all.
Yeah.
You just enjoy it. It's your wind down thing.
It is. It's totally. If I don't sit and watch a couple of shows at night, I feel like, I don't know, I'm still wound up and can't stop.
See, there you go. It relaxes your mind. And mm-hmm. and in this day and age, you need to do what relaxes your mind.
For sure.
For sure. So, so don't be so hard on yourself. You're not addicted to TV. It's just, it helps you relax.
Sure.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. I got two things this week.
All right. I got four, as I said.
Natch.
So
why don't you kick us off?
I will start with a movie that's on Netflix. It's a little bit older. Dwight chose this, not me. It is called Alone. It is 98 minutes long. So this is about a woman, Jessica, In the opening scene, she's packing up her belongings into that U-Haul hitch trailer thing. It's not like a truck. It's like it hooks to your car. And she sets out of the city. And while driving along this mountainside highway, she quickly approaches a Jeep that's driving really slow. And the Jeep starts to drive even slower and slower until he brake checks her. And she tries to pass him, but that's when he decides to speed up. And then the highway becomes a double solid yellow lines. And we can see the blind curve in front of her. And she floors it to try and get by. But right then a semi appears around that blind curve. And she better fucking move over. And she just barely makes it. And of course the Jeep guy starts tailgating her. And then he pulls off at some exit and she continues on. If you've ever been on a road trip, you know that you're going to start seeing the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
Because y'all go in the same direction. So, of course, she encounters this guy at a gas station. He comes up to her and he is super fucking creepy. Like a creepy, creepy, skeevy guy being creepy. And then she sees him again at like a rest stop. And then on the side of the road. And his car has broken down and he's begging her to help him. And she's like, no, you're skeevy, creepy guy. I got to get out of here. I will go down the road to that gas station and send somebody back for you. Okay, cool. Bye. Well, he pulls up at yet another rest stop and he's trying to talk to her and she just, no, no. And then her car breaks down after she's taken off from him on the side of the road because he has punched a hole in the tire of that trailer hitch, so it had a flat tire causing her to swerve. And then he appears, smashes the window, and this is when all the creepy, creepy shit comes on. And it's not a great movie. I mean, it's not very well written. It's kind of flat. But the woman playing Jessica does a really good job of getting across her fear, but also she's not some, like, save me, helpless woman. She is, like, thinking of stuff and trying to get herself out. And she gets out of her captivity pretty easily, I felt. But at the same time, like, the whole thing really made me super uncomfortable. And I was like, I can't watch this anymore. And Dwight's like, oh, I'll stop it. He was very close to being done. I'm like, no. There is nothing I've found to watch right now, so you just finish this off. I'm going to, like, read comics on my phone, and I'll find a unicorn chaser later. But Alone on Netflix, it's not great, and it can be a bit uncomfortable. I felt really uncomfortable. Like, I did not see her. Like, I really felt like this guy was going to just, like, kill her, and she was, because there was no hope, it felt to me, of her breaking free.
Yeah, okay.
Even though she was doing all she needed to do and not just playing helpless,
okay,
whiny girl. Yeah. There was nobody in this I recognized, or I would have dropped some names, but yeah, I didn't recognize anybody in this.
Okay.
The next one is a series with 8 episodes, also on Netflix. It's called The Three Body Problem.
Oh, okay.
This is a sci-fi show. It's based on a book. There is the book is written in Chinese. It's by a Chinese author. And there was a Chinese version of this that I saw that it was listed on Viki. I tried to watch the first episode, but it was really, like, it was really hard to follow. Like, I could not pick up on what they were trying to do with this show. But the American Netflix version, it stars John Bradley, Liam Cunningham, and Jonathan Pryce, all from Game of Thrones. Yeah, Sam Tarly, Davos, and the Sparrow. Those are who.
Oh, well, okay, never mind.
Yeah. It's got Rosalind Chow, who was Keiko O'Brien on Star Trek Next Generation.
Although I do have to say something. Can I interject something about Jonathan Pryce?
Yes, you can. Yes.
The actor Jonathan Pryce?
Uh-huh.
Softest hands I've ever shaken on a man.
Really?
Not. All right. So I don't know if that came out quite right, but
I get it. I understand.
So we did back in the day when you and I worked together at the ad agency, you know, we were doing PR for films and all that. And he did a movie called Carrington.
Okay.
Carrington had like a Chicago premiere and Jonathan Pryce was at it. And I went up to him.
Yeah.
And I shook his hand. Damn, that man had soft hands. That's all I got to say. He just had soft hands. So.
Okay. So as I said, it also stars Rosalind Chow, who was Keiko O'Brien on Star Trek Next Generation. And the other person that of note is Benedict Wong from Doctor Strange. He is Wong in the MC universe. He's also in this. So the official description of this is Ye Win Jae is an astrophysicist who saw her father brutally murdered during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. This was in the 60s.
Okay.
Later, she's conscripted by the military because of her scientific background and sent to this secret radar base in a remote region. They tell her she's going to be working on some kind of weapon, but it turns out, no. It is a secret project to try and find extraterrestrial life, just like the other countries are doing. And her fateful decision at that base echoes across space and time to a group of scientists in the present day, forcing them to face humanity's greatest threat. So this really pops around in time from 1963 to today. There's a lot of stuff in the beginning that happens in China. So they are speaking in Chinese with subtitles. The modern day stuff is in English because that takes place in, like, England, I think. And so this is totally a sci-fi story, searching for extraterrestrial life. And really the whole, it boils down to who responds to the message and how they respond is going to depend on how the aliens react to Earth. And it can be, this whole show can really feel very complicated because I had read what it was all about from trying to figure out the Chinese version. I had a little more background. I have the book. I have yet to actually read the book. It's pretty good so far. I haven't seen all 8 episodes yet, though. It was gripping enough to get me to continue going through, I want to say, the first 4-ish episodes. But then I kind of reached the point where I want to watch something else. So okay. Usually something like this, I might try to binge the whole damn thing and stop when I'm tired and want to go to bed. But because it's sci-fi, it's totally up my alley. It's got a bunch of people from stuff I've watched, you know? I like these actors, but it I don't know. Just something about it just didn't, it didn't grip me to keep going.
Okay.
But I was very excited about this show coming out. Like, oh, this might be fun because I got that book somewhere here. Maybe I should read it. But The Three Body Problem, it's on Netflix. All episodes are available now. So, yeah, give it a try, I guess.
Okay.
If you're into sci-fi, you probably like it.
That seemed like it had a question mark at the end of it.
Yeah, Bill, the whole thing leaves me with kind of a question mark. Do I like it? I don't know. I mean, it wasn't bad. I wasn't like, oh, my God, I can't watch this, like, alone. Made me uncomfortable and I didn't want to watch it. This,
okay, but
this makes me, I'll probably finish it off.
Are you entertained?
Yeah. I was pretty well-ish entertained, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then there you go.
Because I was like, what is happening? What's going on? You know?
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
The first thing I have is something that I actually really like.
Ah.
It's called Not Dead Yet.
Oh.
It is on ABC, but ABC, I catch it on Hulu.
Okay. And, not dead yet.
And it's I'm not dead yet. But it
I'm
starts
here happy.
It stars.
I have to.
I know you do. It stars Gina Rodriguez, and
okay,
she plays a broke and newly single self-described disaster, and she is kind of a disaster. And she's working to restart her life after following a man to, like, Europe, and they broke up. So she's back, and she's trying to restart her life in the one thing she knows how to do, which is write for a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Now, clue number one, newspapers are going down, but her friend lands her a job writing the obituaries at the newspaper because that's the only thing that's open.
Okay.
But the quirky part comes in because in writing the obituaries, she's the only one who can actually see the apparition of the person who died. And the people who die are helping her rebuild her life. It's kind of like a comedic sixth sense.
Okay. Okay.
And Lauren Ash is in it, and you may remember her from Superstore. She played the, she played the really obnoxious super gung-ho store worker.
Yeah, yeah. The security, I think she was in charge of security or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe she fancied herself in charge of security.
And she's also got a roommate played by Rick Glassman, and he actually plays the more dramatic version of Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, interesting.
So he also has, you know, he's also neurodiverse.
Okay.
So because of that, he likes things in a very structured way, and she's interrupting that structure. But, and I've only watched a few episodes right now, so I need to see where this goes. But they're liking each other. And her being in his space is actually good, while he being in her space allows for some structure.
Okay.
So, but it's, I like it. You know, it's doofy.
Is it half-hour episodes?
Half-hour episodes.
Oh, nice. Okay, regular sitcom kind of format.
Yeah, it's a half-hour sitcom.
Nice.
You know, if you're looking for something kind of fun, and I never thought I would say the comedic version of The Sixth Sense before, but
yeah.
But I ended up liking it. It's called Not Dead Yet. It's light, it's fluffy, it's on ABC and Hulu.
Nice. Okay.
Oh, and by the way, different guest stars pop up as the dead people.
Oh, fun.
So
it is fun.
Yeah, it is. It's very fun. All right.
Okay. I might give that a try, actually.
Okay.
So the first of my two shows on Max, now that I have Max again. When I canceled Max, I was mostly upset about losing John Oliver, but a lot of his stuff, you know, you could see on YouTube after it airs. But this show, I really thought that it was never going to get a season two. And I did review this when season one was out. It's called Tokyo Vice. Season two is now out. This is the crime drama series based on a book by the same title written by Jake Edelstein. It stars Ansel Elgort as Jake Edelstein and Ken Watanabe's in this too. In 1999, an American journalist is living in Tokyo. He's got this dream to work at a Japanese newspaper. They have never let a foreigner work at any of their newspapers. And there's a written exam that is only in Japanese that you have to pass in order to even get a chance to be hired. So you got to be literate and fluent in Japanese to get anywhere, which he happened to be. And he was the very first foreign-born employee at this Japanese newspaper. This is like the real-life story of this guy, kind of. But now they've dramatized it and taken some of his stories from his book and made them more dramatic for the show. So this he's got his work from the ground up at the newspaper, and he really wants to write like hard police beat news. Well, he gets kind of wrapped up in the world of the Yakuza, putting his own life in danger. And this second season is really running with that, and he's getting deeper and deeper into this shit. And he was beaten up by the Yakuza because he was flirting with one of the Yakuza head family guys, his mistress. Ooh. Which, what are you doing, dude? But I'm really into the show. I love this show. I love this show. Tokyo Vice. It's on Max. There are two seasons. Season two, I don't think, has finished dropping new episodes yet.
Okay.
So hopefully they finish dropping before before I cancel.
For the like second really time. Cancel or just put like it on really, hold really, again?
I might put it on hold again to decide, do I need to go back to that or not?
Well, I'm already finding things that I might actually have to reactivate Disney Plus for.
Oh.
Yeah, this new live-action Star Wars show called The Acolyte is about to start up. And
okay.
Like, for a month, like, when all those episodes have dropped, then I'll re-up mm-hmm. it so that, okay. you know, that can be binged.
We haven't, like, access to Disney Plus. I'll just say it that way.
Not that we condone.
Not that
things.
I condone getting access to anything.
Not at
like
all.
Like my sister wanting access to Max. That I don't approve of that.
You know what? And nor do I approve of anybody using my codes for access to the things that I just happen to pay for.
Exactly. I don't like sharing.
No.
I'm not a sharer. Anyway.
Sharer, yes. So the last thing that I have is brand spanking new.
Ooh.
Brand spanking new. Just dropped the other day. It's called Roadhouse. It is the remake, or as they say, reimagining of the 1989 movie starring Patrick Swayze.
Okay.
And this Roadhouse stars Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, where is this at?
This is actually on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Or as you would say back in the 80s, Prime.
Prime, yes. I might actually. You know, I would have probably. I liked to pronounce things wrong. If you remember, I was calling the movie, what is it? Gattaca? Gattaca?
Oh, my God.
Because it was fun to do, and it really drove people crazy.
And you would always anyway, say Armageddon was a Megadon.
Armageddon. Armageddon. Yes, I loved saying it, Armageddon.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so it's on Amazon anyway. Prime. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays a former MMA fighter. So all of this has been updated for the now.
Okay.
And stuff happens in the movie, but it's no surprise that it actually follows the original movie to a certain extent.
Okay.
His main character accidentally kills somebody in the ring. And he's living with that in his life. And because of that, he's become very isolated. Oh. And in his adventures, he just happens to come across this small Florida Keys town. In one of the keys, and they're looking for a bouncer.
Okay.
Because while this roadhouse, which is actually in the movie called Roadhouse.
Right. I recall that.
And a nice joke is actually made about that in the movie.
Hmm.
It's a great bar right on the water, but it gets a really rough clientele. And so to combat that, they need a really rough kind of guy to deal with it. So in walks Jake Gyllenhaal, ripped. I'm talking about like he's got the V ripped and just
ooh,
pow.
Full on six-pack abs.
Full on
shit.
Like his six-pack bought a six-pack abs. I mean,
ooh.
I mean, dude is jacked. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. Part of the original movie was that Patrick Swayze was training up the other bouncers to be effective bouncers. And there are two guys who are the bouncers in the bar, so he's helping them learn how to crowd control and all that. And everything is all well and fine until his character starts futzing with the overall plans of Evil Dude. Because he wants to develop that land and make some super mega thing for tourists and make lots of money and blah, 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 blah. But the only thing standing in its way is Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because they can't take care of Jake Gyllenhaal, they call in Conor fucking McGregor who plays a psychopathic, just henchman, you know, driving down the road at all kinds of speeds, not giving a shit who he runs off the road, that kind of guy. But this is his first movie, and they introduce him by showing him bare-assed. I mean, he's literally walking around the scene naked. Not just naked, naked. That boy is naked. So you see lots of Conor McGregor ass in this movie. Well, he's
Who
called
is
in.
Conor McGregor.
He is a former former MMA champion.
Fighter guy.
Yeah, fighter guy. Life fighter guy.
I figured, you know, there might be more people like me who are just like, I don't know who this guy is.
Right.
okay.
So he's actually brought in because he's the only one who could actually stand up to Jake Gyllenhaal.
And
then the wackiness ensues.
Of course.
So here's my issue with this movie. It doesn't quite know what it wants to be. Is it a straight drama? Or is it a goofy remake, guilty pleasure kind of thing? And the answer is, it's kind of both.
Okay.
And so the dramatic parts of Jake Gyllenhaal having to deal with the death that he caused is mixed in with the, you know, plus the drama of what's going on around him is mixed in with the absolute balls out type fighting in this. And at a couple of points in this movie, it becomes first person. So you actually feel like you're kind of in a video game with what's going on. I'll tell you what, you know, and I sat on it for a few hours afterward because I wasn't sure if I liked this or not. Because it's hard to explain. But I'll tell you what. It's not a bad guilty pleasure. How do I put this? It's just, I expect a certain structure to a movie, especially when you're trying to live up to the original Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. But in the end, did they make something that entertained me? Yes. The fight sequences are baller. I just didn't get some of the emotional, you know, attachments because I don't feel like there was enough character development of anybody for you to really give a shit. And you're meant to give a shit. And there are a couple of characters in this movie, like a little girl she and her dad run a bookstore in town and you're supposed to connect with different people, So if you can get past it being superficial, I think you're going to have a good time watching very ripped Jake Gyllenhaal, like, fight with very bare-assed Conor McGregor.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, totally. Like, well, it's... Like, I'm not sure how I feel about the... Three body problem. You're like, did I like this? I don't know. That's kind of what you were thinking. And then you're like, yeah, maybe I did.
I just thought it would be a little more fun than it was.
Right. I thought mine would be a little more gripping, maybe a little more suck me in type of show. I was really excited thinking that's what it was going to do. Like really fulfill that sci-fi emptiness in my life right now.
Yeah. And I thought Roadhouse was just going to be... like a nod to the 80s original and just have a better sense of fun about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot more dramatic mixed in with those fight scenes. And once you get used to that, you're like, okay, I'm on board.
Okay.
You know.
So trying to be just a little more serious, I guess.
Yeah, oh my God, they are.
Okay.
Like at one point in this movie, the Gyllenhaal character is about to commit suicide.
Mm. That is serious.
Oh, yes, very. And it takes itself very seriously, too. So it's not like, you know, nothing in this movie is ever made fun of except for the name Roadhouse.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, Conor McGregor can chew some fucking scenery. He's not bad. But then again, he's playing a caricature of what he does in real life anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, I think that people might have a good time watching Roadhouse. If I had paid to see this in a movie theater, I'd be like, meh. But if you have Amazon Prime, go ahead. There are so many worse things out there. And, yeah, I think you could have a good time, especially on a weekend night.
Okay.
Okay.
So my final thing is on Max, as well as Discovery Plus. This is what Sam wanted to watch and was asking me if I had Max for. It's a documentary called Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. There's four episodes. They're about an hour each. This docuseries is... Bleh. It's a docuseries about what was going on behind the scenes in the 90s and 2000s at Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And it's all about how the industry really needs to change so that it actually protects the child actors. A lot of fans, like the millennials, zennials, who were watching this back when they were kids, are rewatching their favorite shows here, but with the lens of an adult, and they are seeing how blatantly sexual so many of the jokes on this show, these shows were. Like, there was a sketch comedy show called All That. It was trying to be like the SNL of Nickelodeon. There were so many cum shot type of jokes in this, and they show some of these, and you're like, wow, this was on a kid's show? This was kid stuff? Holy shit. But the documentary, the main focus is on Dan Schneider. He was the showrunner, writer, producer of most of these shows on Nickelodeon during this time. He was like the golden child of Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
For how much money he was raking in with these shows. And it's a lot about how he treated specifically female staffers and some of the child actors, too. He would have them massage his shoulders during filming on set.
Oh, my God. Ew.
Including the kids would be massaging his shoulders. He treated the female writers so terribly. He made them share a salary.
What?
Like, two writers had to share one salary, yes. And he would do stupid shit and blatantly sexual it was just blatant sexual harassment. And he played favorites with cast members, which could really make or break their career, too.
Yeah.
On the set during this time, there were three convicted pedophiles working on the set.
No way.
One of them was already a convicted sex offender before he was hired by Nickelodeon.
Oh, my God.
That one of the staffers, one of those convicted pedophiles, in 2003... His name is Brian Peck. He was convicted. He did 6 months in jail. No one knew who his victim was. Like, they kept that a secret for a long time. The actor was 15 at the time this happened. And he comes forward for the first time ever to talk about what happened in this documentary. Drake Bell from Drake and Josh show.
Yeah.
He talks about all of it, and the documentary exposes how Hollywood treats this type of thing. Peck had more than 40 letters of support written to the judge in his favor. Several were from celebrities and stuff. Most of these letters are victim blaming. And I'm like, how does a 15-year-old seduce a 41-year-old adult man? How could you possibly write in a letter to a judge that I just think this kid tempted him so much that he gave in? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What does a 40-year-old man have to do with a 15-year-old kid? And that just made me angry. But When Drake talks about how when during the trial, on his side of the courtroom, it was just him, his mom, and his brother. And on Peck's side of the courtroom was about 50 Hollywood types all there to support him.
Wow, really?
Yes. So after Peck is out of prison, you know, he has to register as a sex offender. And Disney Channel hires him for a kid's show.
Good Lord.
Which, when everybody was like, yo, were you alive? Were you paying attention when he was convicted and all this stuff was going on? And so they fired him after that. But again, it just goes to show how Hollywood wants the money and they don't give a fuck what happens to the kids. But, yeah, so the documentary talks to a lot of cast members who recount how uncomfortable they were on the set. They talk to the parents who also were like, what the fuck is happening here? Dan Schneider was ousted by Nickelodeon in 2018 when that whole Me Too movement happened. A lot of people, staffers, actors came forward talking about his shit. And he's been quiet ever since. But on YouTube, he has a response video to this documentary. And also on YouTube, Alexa Nicholas, who was on the show Zoe 101, she has been very vocal about Dan Schneider and his shit. She has a response to his response video.
Oh my God.
And Brian Peck, the convicted sex offender, also has a video response on YouTube. The one actress who was the closest with Schneider, like he made her career and made her what she was, Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
She does not talk to anybody in this documentary at all. She is the one that stays quiet. But Dan Schneider sounds like a real piece of trash.
Well,
through this whole thing.
He sounds like the Josh Whedon of that universe.
Yeah, he's the Josh Whedon of kids TV on Nickelodeon, apparently.
Ew.
But the shit that was going on, and you've got children, you know, kids from like 10 through teenagerdom, 17 or so, all on these different shows, all run by the same guy who is like a power mad piece of shit. And what are you doing, Nickelodeon, that protects these kids? Because so many of them they all fell into like alcoholism, drug abuse after they got off these shows because they didn't have a proper childhood.
Right.
Being just a kid. They didn't get any counseling or anything when the first guy, when Peck, not he wasn't the first, he was the second one that was convicted. When he gets convicted and brought in, you know, by the police, Dan brought all the cast of the show that guy worked on into a conference room, made the parents stay out, and he tells them, this guy's been arrested for molestation. Do any of you want to say anything? And, like, how uncomfortable would that be? You're in this room, this guy here is, like, asking you about it. Did he expect them to, like, confess, yeah, the dude touched me too? I mean, how uncomfortable is that? And this is how he treated it. Although, Drake Bell does say the only person from Nickelodeon that called him and asked him about it, like, talked to him about Brian Peck. He didn't know that Drake was the one, the victim, but he did ask, because he knew how close they were. Is that you? And when Drake said, yeah, it's me, he's like, do you need anything? What can I do for you? He's the only one who called him in support of what happened to him.
Wow.
But he didn't show up at the trial. Yeah. Yeah. So this is Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. All of the episodes are available on Max right now. And I think Discovery Plus too.
Well,
very eye-opening to what was going on back then.
Yeah. And
very eye-opening.
And amazing that these people are still being protected.
Yeah. Yeah. These, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope that this coming out and exposing what was going on then does something in the industry to make them do more to protect the children, or perhaps even some laws get passed to do more to protect child actors.
I hope so.
Because, yeah, they have to have a parent or a guardian on the set within eyesight all the time. But, you know, it's really easy for some guy who can make or break your career, your child's career, where maybe your kid is the sole breadwinner for your family. It's real easy for him to push his weight and say, "Mom, go over there. Get out of the way." And
where is this again?
There's a lot of... This is on Max and Discovery Plus.
Okay.
So it's very eye-opening, and I would recommend... I didn't watch any of these shows because I was not the target audience for it. The only stuff I really watched on Nickelodeon was a lot of the cartoons. But the live-action actor shows, I was not interested in. So I don't have a connection to these actors at all, but I really was sucked in. Even Dwight sat and watched all four episodes with me.
Wow.
Of this. And we were both like, what? Yeah, Dwight's not really into the documentaries like I am. So having him watch it, it was like, fuck. Yeah. Fuck. This guy's... I didn't know. Also, did you ever watch Head of the Class?
Oh, yeah.
Dan Schneider was on that show. That was his, like, big break to get into Hollywood.
No
kidding.
He was
on Head of the Class. He also helped as a writer on that show.
No kidding. He was an actor on the show?
He was an actor on the show and a writer, yeah. I had to look it up because I'm like, really? Who was he on that show? Because the only people, I only remember two people from the cast of that
show.
Robin
Givens.
No, I remember the red-haired girl, Christine Hodge. I remember her because her name is spelled so weird. It's like K-H-Y-R-S-T-Y-N-E. That's why she's stuck in my head. And the guy from WKRP, Herman? Howard
Hessman.
Howard Hessman. That's it. Thank you. Those are the only two I really remember. But it had like four seasons. And they switched out Howard Hessman for a Scottish guy.
Yeah,
whose name
Scottish guy. Wait a minute.
But yeah, he was on the show. This Dan Schneider was on the show for the whole time. And when I looked it up, I'm like, I don't remember his character at all. But now that you said Robin Givens, I'm like, that's right. She was on that too.
Yeah,
but
she was. Robin Givens.
Until you said it, I wouldn't
show.
Have remembered it.
No shit. That was that piece of shit? I'm looking him up now.
Yeah, he is that piece of shit.
Wow. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV on Max and Discovery Plus. There are four episodes. They're all available right now.
Well, I'm going to end the show with something a little... superficial.
Okay. Unicorn Chaser. Woo-hoo.
Unicorn Chaser. and I'm not gonna lie to you. So the last category that happened last night was apparently there is this list of shows that were the best at handling heavy subject matter in the 80s.
Oh, interesting.
Whether
okay.
it was a very special episode or whether it was the entire series. And this is where we actually probably faltered enough that we were in third place.
Okay.
In all of this, in all of last night, there was just a wave of nostalgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So recently, James Cameron went back and redid 4K versions of True Lies, The Abyss, and Aliens. And I was watching a bit of Aliens last night.
Okay.
Boy, is that
the 4K, right?
The 4K version.
Okay.
Holy shit. Does that look good?
Where can you see the 4K version?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Do you have to rent it, or is it free to watch?
I think it's free to watch.
Okay.
But here is my new thing now. And this goes back to other things that we have talked about before. I actually ordered the hard disk versions of these.
Ah, good.
Because as everybody who listens to this show knows, if you buy a digital copy, you don't own the digital copy. You own a license to view a copy. So that license can be revoked at any time, and your video library can go away. But mm-hmm. these are movies that I absolutely love. So I bought them. But it just so happens that the 4K version was on, and boy, did they clean it up pretty.
Nice.
Usually when you upgrade a movie to 4K that was really just shot on film, not only are you boosting up the clarity, you're boosting up the clarity of the grain that was in the film. So it almost looks like you're hyper-viewing the graininess as well. They took such great lengths to clean up the image that it looks like you are watching a brand new movie.
Cool.
And it's just awesome. It is just awesome. And this is
Aliens.
And this is Aliens, the second one.
With the S, okay.
Yes. It's the James Cameron one. And
oh, okay.
I'll tell you what, it's just great. It was a great movie to begin with, mm-hmm. but I'm just pleased that it is restored like that.
So what does that have to do with the very special episodes trivia questions? You started with that.
I know,
that,
I did, didn't
you,
I? I was just trying to go.
It's James Cameron.
Patty, after 50, you just kind of... No, I don't know what I was trying to do. I think I was just trying to make some correlation with nostalgia and all that other sort of shit. But I fucking don't remember what I started to do. You know what? People, just don't listen to me half the time. Because I just fucking ramble. And I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
No, I can't remember the correlation I was trying to make. So please don't listen to me. And make sure you log on to thewatchlistpod.com. Click on that contact us button. What was I trying to say, people? No, that's not the actual question this week. Was Nickelodeon your jam when you were a kid? And are you going to watch this special? It's hard, and I think I know what I was trying to do. All right.
Okay.
So one of the last category was shows that did special episodes really, really well. And The Cosby Show came up.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually hated writing it. And only because it used to tackle things like racism a lot and socioeconomic levels and so much. I just remember as a kid... Not now, but as a kid, loving that show because it put us in such a great light that it was just an amazing thing to watch. And when you're growing up on the south side of Chicago or anywhere and you're watching this show, you just feel good and everything. And then you realize that the devil himself was actually making this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it bugs the shit out of me. And the correlation I was trying to make is how your innocence is just taken away from you. This piece of shit, Dan Schneider.
Yep.
I hope he shares a cell in hell with the likes of Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby. Yep. And, oh, my God, it hurts.
Yeah.
And then to
really
hear
does.
what people like Joss Whedon do, it makes you watch the things that you're watching with such a different lens now mm-hmm. that you can't unsee. So I really do hope that documentary brings to light a whole bunch of other stuff and this guy gets the comeuppance that he deserves. And
well, and I really hope that it makes change in Hollywood. That's the main thing I hope, because he's already gotten his comeuppance. He's been doing nothing since 2018. But I really hope that it creates change so that child actors are more protected. They get counseling and the help they need to not like for when they're done or when they try to move on to the adult world of acting, they have support so that they don't fall into that whole abuse, drug abuse and alcohol abuse situation where it just fucks their life up.
And you do hear a lot of stories like that too. You know, like
Amanda Bynes, Britney Spears, Drake himself didn't get any counseling for what happened to him, and he fell into abuse situation, like drug and alcohol abuse stuff too. They all have some kind of mental, all of these actors mentioned they had some kind of like psychological issue where they should have been given some kind of counseling to help them through what happened to them.
Wow.
And how they were treated, and you know, they lost their whole childhood and just being a kid.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, people, are you going to watch this special? Let us know what you think. Hit us up on the socials.
Have you watched this special?
Yeah, have you watched this special? Are you planning to? Do you, or do you not want to watch this special?
Mm-hmm.
Hit us up at symbol Bill Ivory Larson, at symbol Pirate Alice, at symbol The Watchlist Pod, or you can click on the contact us button by going to thewatchlistpod.com. And again, hit subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And it actually makes me feel good that we talk about stuff on this show. It's not all Roadhouse-y and all that other sort of crap.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes TV and movies do their job and educate.
Mm-hmm.
So I now, as much as I loved Buffy... And I loved Buffy when I watched it.
I was so into fucking Buffy. I loved Buffy.
Buffy
so
the Vampire Slayer was the shit, and Angel was the shit.
And I liked Dollhouse as well.
But I can't watch Joss Whedon anymore.
Hmm.
And
that's sad.
And I would like to think that that compassion exists in the world. To take care of the people who were taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So to all those people out there, be at peace today. Or do your best to try to be at peace today. You're heard and you are seen. And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, have a great week. We're going to go watch more shit now.
Yep.
Hopefully, I'll watch more shit. Maybe one of these days I'll watch like six shits so that Patty, like it'll be the Bill show instead of the Patty show.
You'll watch six shits.
I'm going to watch six shits. Say that six times fast. Oh, speaking of 666, The First Omen is coming out soon.
Oh, like a remake of it?
No, it's the backstory. It's the backstory before the First Omen movie.
So the prequel.
Yeah, it's
so
a prequel.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. I may hit up some friends and go see the new Ghostbusters movie this week.
I saw a trailer for a Beetlejuice 2 that's coming up.
Oh, there's a trailer for it?
I saw a trailer for it, yes.
Oh, snap. I'm going there right now. All right, we're going to end the show because I got to go. We'll go watch some trailers.
Watch some trailers.
We'll go watch some trailers. All right, everybody, please. Thank you for listening so much. And be at peace if you are going through stuff. And just know that we're here. And we're going to keep watching stuff as well to hopefully entertain you as well. All right, everybody, take care. We will talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye.